Morning.
Okay. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8. And we'll be reading verses 4 to 24. Acts chapter 8, 4 to 24. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city. Now there was a man named Simon, who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray that the Lord, that if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness, and in the bondage of iniquity." But Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for just being able to have this place to meet every single day, and just to come into your presence and to pray, and to pray as a community, Father, for the things on your heart, Lord. God, I pray that this morning as we come to listen to your word and to worship and to pray, Lord, that you really speak, God, and that we just have open hearts to hear what you have to say, Father. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Just a brief background on Acts 8. So from the beginning of Acts to this point, it's not that there isn't a lot going on, but it's pretty simple. Jesus, after being crucified, ascends to heaven, and the apostles wait, and they, on the day of Pentecost, they get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and things start going bananas in Jerusalem, and people start getting saved, and miracles are happening. And the Holy Spirit is really moving, so much so to the point where the Jews start taking notice of this, and in particular, Saul steps in. He's one of the fakers and starts persecuting the Jews. And here we see people start scattering out of Jerusalem. And it's at this point the narrative of Acts switches out of Jerusalem and comes to Samaria. And in this passage, I just wanted to focus particularly on Simon the sorcerer. It's pretty clear that Simon wasn't just a regular illusionist that does fancy card tricks or sleight of hand, but he held some sort of supernatural power. He was tapped into something outside of this world, whether it was a spirit or you know, whether he was possessed by a demon. He had this power that was otherworldly and had allowed him to become very popular. People in Samaria were astonished by what he did, and they were giving him attention, smallest to greatest, saying, you know, recognizing him as great power of God. So there was something more to, you know, just him doing simple card tricks you know, if we move it to our day and age, you see someone on the street that, you know, the sleight of hand, there's something more to that. Now it says that as Philip preached the word of God, many people came to believe, and even Simon himself came to believe in what Philip was preaching about God and Jesus and how Jesus came to die for men and women alike. So this morning, I just wanted to focus on Simon and draw some things that we can, or talk about gifts and blessings from God and what we can learn from this. So let me caveat this first by saying, you know, gifts and blessings from God aren't a bad thing at all. And if you're, you know, in a season in life where you're receiving, you know, gifts and you're being blessed by God, and you know, you're using these gifts in your workplace or with your family or wherever you're applying these gifts, then praise God. You know, the more I've been hearing a lot of praise reports lately from the people that I've been talking to, and it's awesome to see what God is doing in their lives, how God is blessing them. So I'm not here to say that gifts and blessings are a bad thing, but I think the danger is when we start shifting our focus from these gifts and blessings and the things that I receive from God, from the shifting our focus or making them the goal, as opposed to having them be the byproduct of our relationship with God. So it's that dichotomy of gift versus the giver. So just have one simple point today, and I already mentioned it already. The gifts and blessings, if we're not careful, can very easily turn our focus from God to ourselves. They become very self-serving at times. Looking at Simon, he accepts Christ, and there's some debate that I looked on the web, and there's some debate as to whether he was a genuine believer. So I'm not really here to kind of go into that discussion, but he follows Philip around, and the more it says that he continued on with Philip, and the more he continued on with Philip, he observed these signs and great miracles, and he was constantly amazed. But as we go through the passage, you can get a sense that his heart begins to change, that this amazement of the working of God, the blessings of God, and how, you know, God really works, is changing the people's lives in Samaria. I think Simon, his heart starts turning away from being amazed and just trying to get this blessing for himself. So to fully understand this, let's look at verses 9 to 11. Now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. So he was used to a lot of attention. People were amazed by what he was able to do, and he had built up for himself a reputation. This was his career. This was his livelihood. And this was what made him his money. He, you know, made him, I guess, this is his name. This is what he fulfilled himself on. This is what defined him. And this career kind of came crashing down when Philip came and started preaching about Jesus in Samaria, because people now, instead of turning to him, were turning to the truth. Were turning to what Philip was preaching, and they were being baptized and they were following Philip instead. If you guys ever seen the movie The Prestige, I was reading this and that movie came to mind. So The Prestige is about two magicians, and it's a constant battle for each of them to one-up one another. And what ends up happening is, you know, they do whatever they can to find out each other's secret, what makes each other's tricks. And I'm not going to spoil the movie, but it's a really good movie, so go watch it. But as you know, as Philip continues preaching Christ, and people continue getting saved, the apostles in Jerusalem, hears it, and Peter and John come down to visit and see what's going on, to check it out, and to start, you know, imparting the Holy Spirit. And this, and Simon sees this and sees, you know, even more people coming from Jerusalem, even more people having this power of God to heal people, to lay hands, and for people to receive the Holy Spirit. Kind of sees this and is starting, you know, here you can start seeing his heart kind of change. It's as if he's being drawn by, you know, the dark side. He sees his power and he wants to use it for his own good. Or it, you know, another movie reference is, you know, like Lord of the Rings, he's drawn by the power of the ring. Here he's drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit, but he isn't trying to use it in a way that God wants it to be used. See, I think for Simon, he misses the adoration and the recognition of the crowd. So what he ends up doing is he tries to purchase that ability from Peter and John, the ability to impart the Holy Spirit. And it's quite clear that his intentions are really self-serving. He's not interested in glorifying God, and but rather himself. And as I read this, the word jealousy came up in my mind. That jealousy had taken root in his heart, and because he was, in some ways, I think he was jealous of what Peter and John were able to do, and that's why he tried to buy it. And in that jealousy has started causing disunity, because he wasn't celebrating the fact that Peter and John were doing this. He wasn't focused on what the Holy Spirit was doing in the city of Samaria, but rather he just wanted that gift. He wanted to have that for himself. And that this unity is something that God actually deals severely with in Acts. And I would even argue that he's not, when he goes to Peter and says, give me this gift, I'll pay for this gift. He's not just paying for the gift to lay hands, to impart the Holy Spirit. I think, more speculation on my part, but he's paying Peter and John to not impart the gift. So he's telling them, give me this gift and I'll pay you not to do this, so that people will come back to me and give me recognition, give me glory, and recognize me as having this power. So, either way, Simon saw this as a self-serving vehicle and wanted to get his hands on it, and wanted to get his hands on this gift for his own purposes. And I think the application for us is, I think it's not exactly clear-cut as for us as it was for Simon, that, he wanted this for himself. And because we have good intentions when we ask God for gifts, when we ask God, Lord, bless me in my life, or Father, I'm praying for this person, can you give me a word? We're very well intentioned with our requests. One example I can think of is during the New Year's Eve service. At the end, all the staff had to come up on stage or up to the front, and everyone lined up to receive prayer. And as a staff, we weren't prepared for it, or at least I wasn't. But PSAM's like, they're going to pray for you, they're going to give you prophetic words. And I was like, no, I'm not. So it was at that time I started praying, like, Lord, you really have to just, you have to work, and you have to give me a prophetic word. You have to, show me something as I lay hands on this person. You have to, I'm going to sit up here looking like a complete fool if you don't. And I was very well intentioned. I really wanted to bless people with words, but I really had to, in the midst of praying for people that were coming up, it was definitely a struggle, because I always asked myself, did I want to bless? Like, I wanted to bless these people that were coming up, but was it more because I didn't want to look like a fool in front of them? I didn't want them to think like, what does this guy have to say? Or if I were to say, I think God is saying so and so and so, I didn't want them thinking, well, that's completely off. It's completely wrong. I should have gone to, I should have gone to Pastor Ricky. I should have gone to his line and just waited for a prayer from him, as opposed to, waiting for Andrew. Or I was also thinking, you know, I hope people are impressed, you know, by what I have to say. But the whole entire time during that service, or during that service, I was really battling within myself. You know, Lord, help me not make this about myself, about not pleasing me, about not getting recognition as, you know, someone who has awesome prophetic words or whatever it is, but really help me just bless these people. And I remember at the end, someone came up and I laid my hand on them, and we were there for an uncomfortable long period of time, just silence. And I think, now, I didn't look at them because I didn't want to make eye contact, because they probably would look at me and say, like, what's taking you so long? But I realized at some point it just clicked, and I think God was saying, like, don't worry about giving them this amazing prophetic word. Don't worry about, you know, really touching their heart, but just pray a prayer of blessing over them for this new year, that, you know, God really speaks to you, and, you know, that you have peace in your heart. And so at the end, I didn't prophesy over them. I didn't, you know, give them a word of knowledge. I just prayed a prayer of blessing over them. And it was that internal struggle to not make it about myself, to not go to God and say, Lord, give me this gift so that I can feel better. So, you know, this morning, let's ask ourselves, are we wanting to be empowered by God or are we wanting to be empowered by him through his gifts and his blessings because, like Simon, we want to draw a crowd? Or like me during the New Year's service, we want to really bless people. We want it to be recognized. Or we just want to feel better about ourselves. Or do we want to be empowered by him because, you know, we just want to be in his presence? Because as I mentioned before, you know, the danger is when we make that our goal as opposed to the byproduct of our relationship with him. Because when we are in his presence, his gifts and his blessing will come naturally. They flow naturally. It's just the way it is. When he's with us, his glory is with us, and we are blessed by that. So do we want to be, you know, or it boils down to that simple question of, do we want the giver or the gift? Or do we, you know, do we want his hand or do we want his face? Do we want his gifts so that you know, we can get on with our lives? Do we want his blessings so we can complete, you know, this thing in our life where, you know, we're at work and, Lord, I need your wisdom, I need your discernment in this particular situation to help me solve the situation? Or do we want to, you know, quote unquote, inconvenience ourselves and put the situation on hold so that we can be in his presence? And that might not necessarily give us a solution to, you know, our current situation, but we're in his presence, right? And I find myself asking that question more and more. And over the past 2 months, especially during the fast, and there's been a few things going on with my life where I've been confronted by that question, like, do I want his blessing or do I want his presence? And I've had to wrestle with my heart over this. And this is a truth that, you know, I'm beginning to live out more and more. And his presence is so much better than just receiving his blessing. You know, there's so much more, how should I say? The blessings that I'm looking for, the solutions that I want him to provide, the wisdom that I need, the discernment that I need for, you know, whatever issues I have, whatever situations I have, those issues and situations kind of turn to the wayside, become so insignificant when his presence is there. They still exist, but it doesn't matter as much anymore. You know, the one verse that I was reading during the fast that really kind of sparked this was, or the one passage that really sparked this was in Exodus chapter 33, when Moses was, when God was telling Moses, you know, go into the promised land, I'll send my angel with you. but my presence will not go with you. And Moses, you know, pleads to God, Lord, you know, don't, you know, if you're not going to go with us, then, you know, we won't leave this place because your presence isn't with us. And God relents and Moses says, thank you. But he continues on. He's already gotten God to come with the Israelites, but he continues on and he personally asks God, Lord, show me your glory. You know, show me your presence. I thank you for answering my prayers. I thank you for blessing my life. I thank you for blessing us as a people, for coming with us and coming or going with us into the promised land. But do this one more thing for me. Show me your glory. May I be in your presence. May I see your face. And that really spoke to me. And I think God was telling me, Andrew, you know, you have all these things in your life that's going on, but really just seek me. Right, all these things will be taken care of, don't worry, but seek my presence, seek my face. So as we worship this morning, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And you know, if there are certain areas that you are asking him to bless you in, there are certain areas that you're asking for in your life that you're asking for his guidance, you know, just pray for his presence in your life. Pray for just not only for him to speak truth, but just pray for his presence. Abide in him. Pray for him to just meet you and for him to show you his face. Because when his presence is in your life, everything else will flow. His blessing, his gifts will just come into your life as well.
Take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Help me.
God, it's our prayer this morning that you are all you want, Lord. That it's not what you can do for us, Lord. It's not how you can solve our problems. It's not how it's not what you can give to us, but it's just you. It's your presence. So Lord, this morning, as we pray, as we reflect, help us know that you are near, God, that your presence is with us, God, and help us, just let us be comforted by that, Father. Let's pray for our community this morning. Let's pray for those who, our community who have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy, and just pray for God's healing hand upon them. Let's also pray for our community, our family who are ill and also need to just receive Jesus into their lives. Pray for those who are suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs. Just pray for God to open doors and for God just to speak into their lives during this time, that they are using their time wisely as they look for jobs. Turning to our Friday prayer focus, let's pray for Singapore, SBSG, and PSAM Kim, as well as our Indonesian ministry SPIN, and P. Salamat, who is away today. So let's pray for him. He's actually traveling, so let's pray for him and his wife, and God for God's presence to keep them safe. Pray for the missions committee, P. Ricky, Tim, Janella, John, Jamie, James, and Max, the board liaison. Let's pray as they lead our church in missions that God really uses them and gives them wisdom as you know, how our church can participate in missions both abroad and locally here in Hong Kong. Pray for all the local outreach teams, Igape on Sundays, Homies, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray that God really strengthens all the volunteers and really gives them the strength and energy to continue doing these activities that sometimes seem like mundane, but there are so many victories to be won and so many stories, and just pray that God continues to encourage them as they do local outreach. For tonight's activities, there's a college group, SPU, IP, and EG. Let's pray for God's presence and His Spirit to be in each of these meetings. Pray for McCain House Church that is meeting tonight. Let's pray for a powerful time to meet with God and just have fellowship with the fellow brothers and sisters. It's praying it's for a Lent devotional. Let's pray for International Baptist Church. Pray that IBC as a community of disciples are rooted in Christ Jesus and his mission to the world. And also pray for their leaders, their ministry, and every member to be rooted in Christ and his mission. That's the International Church. Let's also pray for the local church, Yangkwang Social Service. Pray for their Easter meeting. And just for pray for both churches that God continues to work through them. Father, we thank you, God, for we thank you for your presence, God. We thank you for your glory, God, and that we get the opportunity, Father, to meet with you, to encounter you, Lord, to be touched by you, God. So, Lord, I pray for all my brothers and sisters here, if we're here this morning, God, that your presence goes with them, Lord. Today as they go off to work, Father, this weekend, God, and Lord, I just pray that you use them, God, that your presence just overflows in them, Father, for them to affect change in their lives, God. So be with us as we go on with our days, Lord. Thank you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming out.